a beauty pageant. That's the cat's meow. I'm Tom Schein, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCown Gordon and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Coming up, our new segment on pop culture explains that playing with Lego is not just for kids.
We don't talk about politics. We don't talk about religion. We talk about brick building. We talk about our passion.
But first, once a year, the fanciest cats around gather at the Cotillion to compete in what is essentially a feline beauty pageant. The tradition is more than 50 years old. Celia Hack stopped by to find out what keeps the spirit of the cat show alive.
This is our Oriental Shorthaired division.
Judge Beverly Wood is flanked by a dozen cages filled with spindly, Siamese-looking cats. She pulls one and brings it to a show table in the center of the ring, stretching the long-limbed creature in the air for the small crowd to see.
Oriental Shorthairs are known for their color, exquisite color, eye color, fabulous eye color on this cat.
Her name is Nettie, and she only protests a bit on the judge's table, unlike a Russian blue that later hisses in the ring.
Little attitude.
Wood declares Nettie best in division, best in breed, and best champion. This is, after all, the purpose of Wichita's annual Cat Fancy. It's part of a national organization that holds similar shows around the world. By competing in them, cats are eligible to earn points. The more points earned, the higher a pet is ranked. Many owners travel to shows around the U.S. on weekends to grow their cats' acclaim. Winter Trussell came to Wichita from Texas to compete with 8-month-old Nettie.
She's a champion. She's working on being a grand champion. And so she has to accumulate 200 points before she's a grand champion.
After 50 years, though, the show has grown into more than an opportunity for out-of-towners and their pets to rack up points. It's also become a cultural institution for Wichitans to adore the cuddly creatures alongside their friends and family. Susan Yost and Mary Pearl, friends since college, came to the Wichita show completely decked out in themed clothing. Cat socks, cat shoes, cat jewelry, a bag with multicolored cats on it. Sitting in the audience of one judging ring, Pearl says her Persian cat at home is...
She's the light of my life.
And Yost concurs.
She would give up her entire family for her cat.
In fact, many spectators don't much understand the complicated rubrics grading each competition, which separate cats by age, gender, spay-neuter status, and color. Even the president of the Wichita Cat Fancy Show, Mary Beth Wegerly, says it's a complex system that often goes over her head. She typically competes, but more casually, in the household pets division. She often has fun at the annual show, giggling with her friends at how their humble house cats compare to the expensive pedigrees.
Household pets, there's a bunch of misfits. They don't know which way to look. But you get a little show kitten in that they're going to be sitting at attention.
The seriousness of the show gets even more diluted when the costume contest rolls around. Wegerly was initially skeptical, but the crowds love it. Plus, it's an opportunity for the pedigreed cats and rescue cats from the Wichita Animal Action League to compete simultaneously. This year's winner, a one-eyed black rescue in a teeny pirate costume.
And in first place today, fresh off the boat, One-Eyed Jack, a pirate.
For The Range, I'm Celia Hack.
You can read more of Celia's story at KMUW.org. Many people grew up playing with Lego bricks, whether it was building a set or mixing and matching to see where their imagination might take them. On this first episode of Culture Pop, Hugo Fan meets a group of people still enjoying Lego well into adulthood.
Who brought that cool Batmobile?
That would have been me.
It's a cold January morning, and a group known as ICT Lug, or the Lego User Group, is meeting inside Bricks and Minifigs, a retail shop that caters to the brick-building crowd.
Stuck at home, I actually got to go into my den of kits that I had.
They are finalizing officers and showing off the Lego displays they've been working on for the past month.
We don't talk about politics. We don't talk about religion. We talk about brick-building. We talk about our passion. And so that's the beauty of it, is that it's about respect, about learning from each other, creating the things that put smiles on people's faces.
That's Will Rapp, one of the founders of the Wichita chapter of LUG. he initially got into Lego to spend time with his kid.
For us, it was family bonding time. It was an opportunity for us to do something that we shared. I was big into sports as a kid and an adult, but sports was not their thing. Star Wars became one of their passions.
After attending some conventions with his kid, Rapp realized the power Lego had to bring people closer.
Coming together with Lego bricks, I was able to do some things and some builds that were in the sports realm, and they did some builds that were in the Star Wars, but then together, you know, we found a way to share that expertise.
So Rapp helped organize the local chapter of LUG to bring Lego enthusiasts together. He says its members come from a variety of backgrounds.
In that group, we have folks that are engineers, folks that are into aircraft. We've got train builders, landscape folks.
Among them is Tony Gatlin, a military veteran who found a therapeutic use for the hobby.
And Lego really helps me with the anxiety that comes with PTSD, because when I'm building, intrusive thoughts stay out of my mind. And then, secondary to that, over time, it starts to rewire the neural pathways.
Bricks and Minifig franchisees Jim and Carol Lindner says they initially opened their shop to show their kids that they can turn what they love into a career.
And it was one of those things that we wanted to be a part of a business to where we can teach our kids at a young age some basic principles about business, and it seemed what better way to do that than to do that with Lego.
So it's not just a store that sells products, but we also work with other people who have used their creativity to come up with another product that can be compatible with Lego. So, you know, our kids can see, like, it doesn't have to just be in a box. They can create something else and still make a career out of it, whether it's Lego or, you know, something beyond.
If you're looking to get into Lego as a hobby, ICT LUG co-founder Will Rapp has some advice for newcomers.
Don't be intimidated by anything else that others are doing. Just know that whatever you do, however you want to use the bricks and the hobby is up to you as an individual.
For The Range, I'm Hugo Fan.
We'll explore the latest trends in Wichita every month on Culture Pop with Hugo Fan. And one last thing. When I was growing up, my mom was our sheriff. If any of us stepped out of line, we answered to her. But the other moms in our neighborhood were her deputies. They kept watch over things as well and had the authority to let us know when we were behaving badly. That didn't happen often. We were too busy playing football or baseball or basketball to get into serious mischief. One of those last moms, Mrs. O'Leary, passed away this week. She lived next door to us, and because her front lawn was part of our football field, we saw her a lot. And her three sons, Patrick, Peter, and Michael, who we called Chubb, and still do. Mrs. O was part of the fabric of the neighborhood, helping raise us even if we didn't know it at the time. It truly takes a village. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Jonathan Huber, Beth Goulet, and Lou Ann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torn Anderson composed our theme music. The executive producer of The Range is Fletcher Powell. I'm Tom Schein, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.